Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to The Briefcase, episode 66 of The Briefcase. I'm your host, Casey Holdall, and this is usually the part where we would have some kind of archived audio or preamble about what's going on with the Portland Trailblazers right now, with the team having just gotten back from a three-game, seven-day road trip, being on the second night of a back-to-back versus the Cavaliers, which is a game that is maybe either going on right now or has happened by the time you listen to this podcast. I'm just going to get right into the news of the day for your Portland Trailblazers as they begin a three-game homestand after being gone, as I mentioned, for a three-game trip. We'll talk about where the Blazers are at right now in terms of their record, injuries catching up with the team, which I think is obviously the biggest concern right now for the Trailblazers. More so than wins or losses, it's injuries and the guys that are out there or not out there right now, and the guys who are being put into positions that they're probably just not ready to be in at this point in time. Briefly touch on the Rip City Remix, look at how the Trailblazers are doing versus the spread, and hear from Tumani Kamara, who got the first start of his career on Tuesday versus the Jazz, on this truncated edition of The Briefcase. At the time of this recording, the Trailblazers, myself included, have been home for about 13 hours after coming back from a 7-day, 3-game road trip in which they lost all 3 games to extend their current losing streak to 4 games. The Blazers started the trip with an overtime loss to the Kings in Sacramento, followed up by a 116-110 loss to the Lakers in Los Angeles, and most recently, a 115-99 loss to the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City Tuesday night in the second in-season tournament group stage game for both teams. Jeremy Grant had 26 points and 2 rebounds in the loss. DeAndre Ayton had 22 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 assists. I would say one of the only good developments lately for the Trailblazers has been that it seems like they're starting to figure out how to use DeAndre Ayton on the offensive end. When you're down so many bodies, obviously you need to distill things down and figure out what works best with the players you have available. And as of right now, I think anytime you get the ball to DeAndre Ayton anywhere in the post, which is where he's always at, is probably going to be one of the best options they have. So that has been one good thing the Trailblazers have figured out, it seems to me, during the course of these losses, as they're losing more and more guys due to injuries. Shaedon Sharpe had 17 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals in the loss. Shaedon Sharpe listed as probable for Wednesday night's game versus the Cavaliers with a sore right knee. Shaedon has been playing a lot of minutes lately, and in the post-game locker room after the loss to the Utah Jazz, he was wearing the Normatec on his right knee, which is a cuff that basically has cold water running through it. If you've ever had an ACL repair, you've probably used a Normatec. And when I saw that Shaedon had that, which is a new development best I can tell, I actually thought maybe he might not play in the second night of Wednesday's back-to-back versus the Cavaliers, but he is listed as probable, so I imagine he will play. But that's probably something they're going to start managing here. If players are not able to come back sometime soon, Shaedon has been playing more than 40 minutes per night regularly since those guys went out. I suspect at some point they're going to try to draw those minutes back, regardless of what it's going to mean for the team from a competitive perspective. Obviously, Shaedon's long-term prospects with the team much more important than whatever the short-term goals are of this team as of right now. Skylar Mays recently had his two-way contract converted to a full contract with all the injuries, is starting at point guard and has 6 points and 10 assists. Jabari Walker came off the bench to post 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. And Tumani Kamara, as I mentioned, who got the first start of his career Tuesday night versus the Jazz, posted 9 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, and an assist in 26 minutes. A little bit more from Tumani in a bit. So basically, the Trailblazers are running a 7-man rotation right now, which consists of the starters, Matisse Thybulle and Jabari Walker. Matisse Thybulle might actually be back in the starting lineup by the time you listen to this. Chauncey Billups had talked about before the game on Tuesday versus the Jazz that he was going to start Tumani to see how that went, but it was not necessarily something that he was going to continue to do. I imagine Tumani probably will start for a couple weeks here at least before they reassess, but Chauncey made a point of saying that it wasn't necessarily a permanent change, so I don't want people to give the impression that it is one. But basically, you got the starters, Matisse and or Tumani and Jabari Walker, and everybody else is playing spot minutes at that. Quite a few of those guys, rookies, guys signed from the G League, two-way players, they're doing what they can, but basically they're being forced into positions where they're probably just not ready to play regular NBA rotation minutes, and that's what they're being asked to do. They're doing their best, but I think the results are starting to show that you can only get away with that for so long, particularly as teams start to figure out how you play and how you scout. Those things are going to change once those players become known quantities in the NBA. I think we're already seeing the results of that. Game's getting a bit more tougher for the Trailblazers, even though they're comporting themselves well. They're staying close in a lot of games. I think we're maybe starting to see some of the early indications that these injuries, the time that the players who are on the roster already are playing, and the amount of time that guys who are not on the roster a week ago are now being asked to play feels like it's starting to catch up with the Blazers from a results perspective a bit, particularly late in games. They went, I think, almost 6 minutes without scoring in the fourth quarter of Tuesday's game versus the Utah Jazz. I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that that happened late in the game at the end of a trip. Something to keep an eye on, but eventually, if they're not able to get some of these guys back soon, I think we're going to see the results of that in their performance, if we're not already seeing that. I would rather not make talking about injuries a regular segment here on the briefcase, but the fact of the matter is, it is the biggest storyline for the Trailblazers right now. So let's go ahead and round up where the Trailblazers' injuries are at right now on a player-by-player basis. So Anfernee Simons, team said on October 31st that Ant had surgery to repair a torn ulnar collateral ligament in the guard's right thumb, and that his return to play timeline is approximately 6 weeks. So he's still about a month away from returning, according to that timeline. I believe Ant did have a checkup while the team was in Los Angeles. That's where the surgery was performed, and is now wearing a smaller protective cover on that right thumb. So it seems like progress is being made, but it still seems likely he's out until mid-December at the absolute earliest. Wouldn't be surprised if it even went on a little bit after that. And also, when you miss that much time, you have to ramp up your return to play anyways. Ant seems like he's been on the court more lately, so I think they're probably ahead of schedule in that regard, but still have to make sure that thumb is fully healed. So once again, we're probably looking at mid-December at the absolute earliest. Moving on, the team announced on November 11th that Scoot Henderson, who has been out since November 1st, has a right ankle sprain and also a bone bruise, presumably in that right ankle, which will keep him out for an additional 2 to 3 weeks, which puts his return at the beginning of December at the earliest. This has already lingered a lot longer than I think anyone had initially thought, and you might recall on this very podcast, the last edition, I mentioned that I thought he might actually be returning to play before the end of that road trip. Obviously, that was not the case, as a report came out basically as the podcast went out, they would have missed at least another 2 weeks, potentially 3 weeks additionally. And at this point, since he's been out since November 1st, you would imagine that by the time he does return to play, he will probably have missed an entire month with that injury, and that's if he comes back exactly when they say he is going to. One of the things that's always important to remember about those approximations about when a player is going to return is that they are approximations, and they are very much subject to how the player feels, how that rehabilitation is going. And sometimes it goes well. Sometimes you're a little ahead of schedule. Sometimes it doesn't go as well, and it takes longer than you would have assumed. I think Scoot's injury has already lingered a lot more than people thought it would. So at this point, I think that can inform some of your opinions about when he is going to return to play. But as I mentioned, best case, they stated on November 11th that he would miss at least 2 to 3 more weeks. So once again, you're probably looking at mid-December at the absolute earliest for Scoot Henderson's return. Malcolm Brogdon remains out with a right hamstring strain, and I wouldn't expect any update on when he's returning anytime soon. Like with Scoot, the initial implication seemed to be that it wasn't that serious, and I don't know if that has really changed, but hamstrings are rather tricky injuries, and they can't chance losing Malcolm for an extended period of time, so I imagine they're going to play that incredibly safe. He is out for Wednesday's game versus the Cavaliers. No idea about whether or not he's going to be available to play Friday versus the Lakers or Sunday versus the Thunder. Again, they're going to have to play it incredibly safe with Malcolm. They can't lose another player, another veteran player, for a whole host of reasons. And so they're just going to have to wait until that injury is basically completely gone away. That's the thing about hamstring injuries too, is that you can't really play through them. You can play through a sprained ankle. You can play through a lot of injuries that you're having trouble with, but you can go out there and play without exacerbating it. Hamstring is one of those injuries where you got to wait till you basically can't feel that hamstring to know that you're not going to re-aggravate that injury. And at this point, they're just not there yet. So when Malcolm comes back is really anybody's guess. It could be as early as Friday's game versus the Lakers. It could be an extended period of time from that as well. No idea, no real way to tell. We'll just have to wait to find out what his status is before the next game, which is again on Friday versus the Lakers. An in-season tournament game, that one, by the way. And one of those that is not changing, Robert Williams III had surgery last week to repair the ligament that holds your patella tendon in place. He is done for the season. The team will likely put in for an injured player exception once he has missed enough games to qualify, and they might even be close at this point to putting in for a hardship exemption as well. As I've mentioned, they've had four players now who have all missed a significant amount of time due to injury. I imagine now that Malcolm has only missed two games, I don't know exactly what the threshold is for that, but if Malcolm continues to miss games, I would say through the week. So if he misses the Laker game, if he misses the Thunder game, I think their next game is at Phoenix. If he's out for those games, I think at that point in time, they might qualify for a hardship exemption. I should have looked that up before getting on air here, but again, second out of back-to-back for me too. So Robert Williams, obviously done for the season. They might have some ways that they can make up for that through some exceptions, but the Blazers also have all their mid-level exception, or at least most of it right now anyways. So if they wanted to go out and sign someone, they could. It's just as of right now, I don't think they have a roster spot to do it. And I know they're probably pretty close to the tax. So they're probably trying to figure out a way that they can maybe bring someone in while also not doing anything that's going to force them over the tax line to start that repeater, which they definitely don't want to do at this point. No team ever wants to do that, but you definitely don't want to do it when you're a team like the Blazers, who are rebuilding rather than competing for the playoffs, let alone a championship. All right, moving on, checking in on the Blazers' offensive and defensive rating as we do every week on the briefcase. Blazers are currently 30th in offensive rating, which is unchanged from last week, at 104.4 points scored per 100 possessions, which is actually a slight improvement from last week, at least in terms of the stat, if not their actual ranking. For comparison, the Spurs are 29th at 106 points scored per 100 possessions, while the Pacers lead the league at 122 points scored per 100 possessions. So the Blazers in 30th are scoring 17 points per 100 possessions less than the Pacers, who are in first. And on the other side of the ball, the Blazers are 11th in defensive rating, which is two spots worse than last week, at 110.5 points allowed per 100 possessions, which is about a point worse than it was at this point in time last week. The difference between a team's offensive rating and their defensive rating is their net rating, and Portland's at -6.0 ranks 26th in the NBA, above only the Wizards, Hornets, Grizzlies, and Spurs. And as we start to do once a week on this season of the briefcase, we'll be singling out one player's stat achievements, and this week, that honor goes to Shaedon Sharpe, who is second in the NBA in distance traveled at 2.97 miles per game. Only Tyrese Maxey of the Sixers, who is having a heck of a season, by the way, is covering more ground. And Shaedon leads the league in distance traveled on defense at 1.3 miles per game and is fifth in offensive miles at 1.5 miles per game. Shaedon, getting that run in. While the Blazers haven't managed to win many games lately, they have done a better job of covering the spread, which might give you a little bit of solace if you're a Trailblazer fan. The Blazers failed to cover in Tuesday's game versus the Jazz. They were 7-point underdogs and lost by 16. Though they covered in back-to-back losses to the Kings, they were 7.5-point underdogs and lost by 3 in overtime, and the Lakers, where they were 8.5-point underdogs and lost by 6. So the Blazers are now 5-5 versus the spread this season, compared to 3-7 versus the NBA. However, they are losing some ground on hitting the over on their season win projection of 28.5 wins. And while it's very possible, maybe even probable, that you're listening to this after Wednesday's game, I'll just go ahead and let you know that for the record, the Blazers are 10.5-point underdogs to the Cavaliers on Wednesday night, which is their largest point spread of the season so far. Previously, their largest point spread was 10 to the Raptors in Toronto, but you might remember they actually won that game, though that was when they actually had more guards on their team. Portland basically down to two guards, Skylar Mays and Shaedon Sharpe, and some guys they recently signed from the G League. Again, they're doing their best, but there's only so much you can expect those guys to do. And speaking of the G League, after going 2-1 in Southern California in the first three games of their existence, the Rip City Remix begin their inaugural home schedule this weekend by hosting the South Bay Lakers on Friday at 5 p.m. and the Ontario Clippers on Saturday at 3 p.m. Both those games are at the Chiles Center on the campus of the University of Portland and will be broadcast over the air on Fox 12+. To celebrate the historic weekend, this is me reading the press release, all fans at both games will receive Rip City Remix-themed coasters as a memento of the franchise's home debut. Fans will also be able to purchase exclusive opening weekend merchandise, including limited edition apparel created in collaboration with Portland Gear. I would also imagine the Blazers might assign a few players to go play with the Remix on Saturday, but since they play the Lakers on Friday in the Remix's first game at home, I suspect they'll keep everybody around considering how short-staffed they already are. Though then again, it's pretty easy to go from University of Portland to Moda Center. But if you're playing extended minutes for the Remix and you are thrust into action with the Blazers, how ready can you be? Are you putting yourself in a situation where you might get injured? I don't think they're very often going to play guys in Remix games in the morning and then Blazer games at night. But as short-staffed as they are, I guess I can't say that for sure. All right, before we wrap up this edition of The Briefcase, let's go ahead and hear from Tumani Kamara. The 6'8 rookie out of Dayton got his first start on Tuesday versus the Utah Jazz, has been a player who his on-off numbers have been some of the best in the NBA, let alone on the Trailblazers, and a guy who I think fits in well to any lineup you put him in. While Tumani was excited to start, I think he was also really trying to downplay expectations. He is a rookie. He has a guy, a veteran in Matisse Thybulle, who is not starting because now Tumani is starting, and I think he's cognizant of that. I think he didn't want to make too big of a deal out of it. Obviously, the Blazers didn't get that win in Utah, so I think that probably muted some of his enthusiasm anyways. But I know that a lot of you were hoping that Tumani might get a chance to start, seeing as how well he's played through the first 10 games of the season, the exact kind of player that fans in Portland love. I think Tumani has done a nice job. I think he's a very good complementary player who is going to be a cornerstone of this team going forward. And that kind of started in earnest with his first start Tuesday night. So let's go ahead and hear from Tumani about that start and how things are going for him a month into his rookie season.
So your thoughts on your first start?
Another basketball game. Just being able to have an impact from the start, I think, helps every player just to be more ready, I feel like, and stay warm. But, yeah, I think it was just another game. I just started a little. I was on the court a little earlier than usual, that's all.
When did Billups tell you, and what was your reaction then?
He told me before the game when we watched the film. And, I mean, you know, like, I'm just trying to play basketball at the end of the day. So I know I was going to have my chance to get on the court tonight. And then I probably played around the same amount of minutes. So it doesn't really matter for me if I started out or not. It's just be able to go out there and play basketball. I mean, I told my mom it was a surprise because I know she was going to be happy about it. But, it's a goal for sure as a basketball player to be able to start for an NBA team. But, I love all my teammates here. And it's like we all trying to compete for the same thing. So it really doesn't matter that much to me, yo.
You seem like a guy, too, that Chauncey's talked about. Kind of, you just fit in well. So to your point, kind of starting or coming off the bench, it seems like you're a guy who's able to have an impact on the game regardless of kind of who you're with or how long you're out there.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do is just impact winning. Try to give myself the best chances possible to play hard, play good defense, and help my teammates in the best way possible. And I think I'm going to keep growing as a player, but I feel like that's that's who I am right now today. I'm just trying to be the best teammates as possible, the best basketball player as possible. So.
I had kind of heard from people that people thought you might actually start the season starting because I think towards the end of camp you were kind of playing a lot with the first unit guys. Ended up coming off the bench for the first 10, as you mentioned. But it didn't sound like you really mind all that much either way.
Yeah, I mean, I want to win basketball games, you know. So if coach thinks that starting me helps the team, I'm all for it. If he thinks I'm better coming off the bench, I'm all for it. So. Yeah, I just want to win games, be able to play basketball, be able to play with my teammates. And when we win, everybody's happy. So that's my goal at the end of the day.
You came in right away and took the first shot, too. I mean, so weren't shy about that.
No, I mean, you got to come in with that confidence if you want to start. And I feel like that's something I'm trying to build onto, trying to play more with more confidence. I feel like I'm still trying to figure out what I can do offensively with this team and try to learn my teammates and stuff like that. And, yeah, that's it.
Did you expect to be such a pretty good to good defensive player right away?
Yeah, I think so. Just because I spent 4 years in college, and I think that's something that I really wanted to do, be able to come in the league and have an impact right away. And I know that defensively it's all about effort. Same thing with rebounding. So I know that it's something that I've been doing for a long time, and I've just been have a lot of confidence in that and trusting that my teammates trust me in that too. So
it seems like you, particularly on the defensive end, you have a real physical kind of style of play. You like to kind of mix it up a little bit. Kind of, how has that worked out for you so far in the NBA? Because it seems like you've been effective with it.
Yeah, I think I'm still trying to learn some small ticky-tack fouls that sometimes I get. I'm trying to learn the league a little bit, trying to learn how the referee works and how the game works here in the NBA. So I feel like I can get a lot better at that. But, I feel like defense is all about effort, all about trying to win a basketball game, and you cannot just do that offensively. So it's an area that I take a lot of pride in. So yeah.
You talk about winning a game. You guys weren't able to do that tonight. Kind of your thoughts on this game tonight, and particularly in the fourth quarter, it seemed like you guys, I don't know if you ran out of gas, but just as Chauncey mentioned, he's like, we were stuck on, I think, like 93 points for a long time.
Yeah, I think something that the coach talked to us a lot about is being able to touch the paint multiple times in actions. And I feel like sometimes we're taking a lot of quick shots. And I feel like I took a little bit of quick shots too. And it's just being able to follow the game plan throughout all four quarters. Trust each other, trust the coaching staff, and do what works. And I feel like that's what, something that we really need to focus on.
So there you go. Ricky Tumani Kamara discussing his first start versus the Utah Jazz on Tuesday. And just his general thoughts about his place on the team at this point in time. Again, as I mentioned, I think it's really smart and really gives you an insight into Tumani as a player and as a teammate, that he really went out of his way to downplay the importance of starting. It is a status thing in the NBA, and when you lose your spot, I think sometimes for a lot of players, that can be a difficult thing. And if you're being a good teammate, I think that sometimes you don't want to make that feel worse for your teammate because you're getting the opportunity to start. And I think you kind of hear that in Tamani's voice, the way he's talking about it, where he mentions that he loves all of his teammates and we're all competing together. Just a certain level of understanding of how something plays in a locker room, how it plays with your teammates, and wanting to foster an environment in which everyone feels like they're important and is having an effect on winning or having an effect on growth, at least for this team, even if you're maybe not starting or you're maybe not getting the amount of minutes you would like to play. So, you know, I feel like that's a pretty vet move for Tumani, a guy who played 4 years in college, two at Georgia, two at Dayton. So he's a little bit older than some of the guys in the locker rooms, some of the guys who have technically more years in the league than he does. He's actually got a little bit of age on those guys. So I think it helps for him to be a bit of an older rookie, gives him that understanding and that context of just how things come across as a rookie, particularly with veteran guys. I think that's real smart for Tumani. I know his teammates were excited for him as well, but I also know that no one wants to make too big of a deal out of it. And that's going to do it for this edition of The Briefcase. Blazers host the Cavaliers on Wednesday, the Lakers on Friday, that's an in-season tournament game, and the Thunder on Sunday before heading out to play the Phoenix Suns on Tuesday in their final group stage game of the in-season tournament, then back home on Wednesday to host the Utah Jazz before then heading out for a 5-game road trip, including meeting up with Damian Lillard in Milwaukee on Sunday, November 26th. But that's a ways off from now. Plenty of basketball to play in between now and then, which we will talk about on the next edition of The Briefcase. Thank you so much for joining me once again. Please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast to both this podcast and The Blazers Balcony with Brooke Olsendam. We had a new episode on Monday, a pretty good one if I do say so myself. Please go ahead and get that listen if you haven't already. We will talk to you soon. Go Blazers.